Cars, new homes, TVs, and carpets, wall to wall.
John chapter 3, we know that Jesus is dealing with a man by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to the Lord by night because he was one of those Pharisees, and he was ashamed to break ranks with them. We know that Jesus told him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus didn't understand that a whole lot. He said, how can a man enter his mother's womb again? Basically, is what he's asking. Jesus said that you must be born again. He said that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Nicodemus said in verse 9, he said, how can these things be? There was a little old country preacher who went over to preach in a tent meeting, and when the service was over, he stood around in fellowship with people, and God saved a whole bunch of people in that service that night. He went out and started his car, and his battery was dead. He put his coat over his head, and he started walking down the road. There was a Baptist preacher seen him, pulled over to pick him up. Felt like he needed to witness to the boy. Didn't know the boy was a Baptist preacher himself because of the way he was just drenched, soaking wet. Boy got in the car and he said, son, I'd like to ask you a question as we go down the road. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? He said, yes, sir, I do. He said, tell me about your salvation experience. And the boy went on to tell him about how he got saved. And he said, son, you're a Christian. What are you doing out in a rainstorm like this? He said, well, I just was preaching down here at this tent meeting just down the road. It was my first night here, and I stayed over to fellowship with the people, and they all left me, and I didn't have a way home. My car wouldn't start, and I've got a motel a couple of miles up the road. I just appreciate you stopping to pick me up. He said, you're a Baptist preacher, and they left you? He said, yes, sir. He said, well, what happened at the tent meeting tonight? He said, God saved a whole pile of people. He said, really? What'd you preach on? He said, I preached about nicodemus. He said, nicodemus? He said, you know there, John chapter 3, that Pharisee that came to see Jesus by night, Nicodemus. And that preacher said, Lord God. He said, you know, this whole time I've been calling him Nicodemus, I preached that ain't nothing happened. Maybe I've been pronouncing it wrong. Let me say this. If we just believe God when we're preaching God's word, it don't matter if we call him Nicodemus or Nicodemus. God will do a work, amen? And I never look at these verses enough. But Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse number 14, as he's talking to Nicodemus, the scripture said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's talking about he's going to be lifted up from the earth, crucified, shamed, beaten. He's going to take upon himself my sin and your sin. He that was holy, he that was harmless, the Son of the living God, came to this earth to take upon himself the words that I'd say and the things that I'd do, and take a beating that I could have never taken and be put to death. The scripture says, verse 15, why'd he do it? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I was listening to the girl sing there just a minute ago and talking about how we've forgotten the Lord. And I was listening to some people quoting verses, and they didn't call him his only begotten Son. They kind of missaid it and said it was his only forgotten Son. And that's about the truth. He has been forgotten. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. I thought about that man, that his little boy, he was one of these guys that run a drawbridge, and his little boy was out of school that day and was with him there on that drawbridge where they were up there. I think it was in New York or New Jersey, but a true story said the little boy was playing around there, and he said that he saw the great ship coming through, and it's time to pull the lever back to pull that drawbridge up. And his little boy was close to the gear of that drawbridge as he pulled that lever, and it caught his little boy's clothes in that gear, and then it started pulling that little boy into that drawbridge, and it was going to crush him to death. And the daddy said he had a decision to make. He said, I could throw that lever and throw that bridge back down, probably tear everything all to pieces. And when it did, that ship was going to come sailing right into the side of that great big bridge, and no telling how many people on board that vessel would be killed. Or he said, I could sacrifice my son. And he said, I knew my son was a Christian. And he said, I went ahead and let that drawbridge stand. And I saw my boy crushed to death before my very own eyes. He said he saw that crowd as they went by. It was a great big vessel. They were laughing and drinking alcohol, telling dirty jokes, dressed ungodly, acting ungodly, had their music just to blaring. And as they sailed right on by that bridge, they could care less for the sacrifice that was just made that they might live. And I thought about our God and about how he was willing to give his son, because when I was sailing right on by, living an ungodly life, he made a decision. He said, I'm going to send my son to take Darren's beating and to take upon himself Darren's sins, that Darren might be saved. And the first time the Holy Ghost spoke to me about being saved, I ignored him. I put it off. I said, it can't be me. I'm not interested. I'm not home. I don't want anything to do with it. And oh, how it must have broke the heart of God. Brother David, he didn't owe me a second chance. He didn't have to come back and speak to me a second time. But praise God, I laid awake all night under conviction, being out of shape, thinking about it, worried about it. Said tomorrow night when we go back, I'll get right with God. And yet when they gave that invitation, I still hesitated. I still would not move. I don't know why God let me live another day. I don't know why he did. But I remember that night, thanks be unto God, when he gave me one more chance. And I found out that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I've never been the same, amen. Imagine a God that would love us, we that are wicked. You think about your life. You may be dressed for church and we've had a good time in here praising him tonight, but you really think about your life and how you've lived it and the wicked things that you've done. Why on earth would God be willing to save such wicked, vile creatures as us? We're nothing better than deserve to be in hell with our back broke. Yet God sent his son that we might be saved, to take upon himself our penalty. Death penalty he paid. The Bible says in verse number 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Praise God that he died in my place and that he was buried. And on that first day of the week, he arose victorious over death, victorious over hell, victorious over the grave. You may say tonight, Preacher Darren, why would you even preach this to me? Why, I've been redeemed for some time now. And I want to say this to you tonight, amen. My God deserves a little praise for the sacrifice that he's made, for putting up with us putrid old sinners. He deserves a little praise tonight. And you look how the sacrifice he made, and if we're not careful, we'll get on our old party boat, even though we're Christians, and we'll ignore his sacrifice, and we'll not think about what he's done. We'll not appreciate what he's done. We'll not thank him for what he's done. You may say, Preacher Darren, that's what this whole service has been about. We've been here praising him. But I'll tell you this tonight. As I sat on the front row, God said the devil doesn't like what's going on here. And I thought, no kidding. And God said, the problem is, some of my youngins are sitting right here thinking, I wish we'd get on with it and get out of here. I don't want to hear them go on and on and on. The preacher up there saying 18 times, don't my God deserve a little praise? That's not even good English, and I don't want to hear it. I want to say to you tonight, amen, God loves your soul. He's blessed you beyond measure. You think about the salvation you have, the eternal life he's given you. You think about the material possessions he's blessed you with. He's given you good health. He's given you a good family. He's given you friends. Amen. He's been better to you than you could ever deserve. Hey, don't my God deserve a little praise? I mean, when you looked in your closet tonight and you felt like your best friend had died, but you had plenty of clothes to put on your back, amen. You had shoes, which pair to match your dress, which pair of slippers to put on with your suit. You had a bunch of ties, amen. Hey, God's blessed you with good food. Ain't none of you look like you've been hurting. God has blessed you beyond measure. He saved our soul. He's forgiven all our sin. He's taken care of our trespasses. He's taken away all of our iniquities. He's thrown them behind his back, and he saved us and blessed us. Oh, don't my God deserve a little praise tonight, church? You may feel like you're here tonight and you've never been saved. How could I ever go down to that old altar in a service like this? I must be the only one here. That's the way I felt that night. I must be the only one that's never been redeemed. That's the way I felt that night. But yet I tell you, outside these walls tonight, there are literally thousands and thousands of people who have no appreciation for what Jesus Christ has done. They have no love for the Lord. They have no respect for the house of God. Used to, when somebody come to the house of God, they would respect the house of God. They didn't run wide open, leave beer cans on the property. Let me say to you, in the old days, the church had more power in the parking lot than most of our Baptist churches do in the building. Amen. Amen. I want to say tonight, amen, if the Lord has passed by here tonight, and I believe he's been a passing by, amen, I believe he's stayed a while with us, amen, then God's been good to us if he's graced us with his presence one more time. If he comes by and says, sing, young and sing, and he puts his hand on us for healing, and he blesses us as he has, woo! Hallelujah. We ought to get excited. Don't my God deserve a little praise? Boy, he's been good to us. He may say, Preacher Darren, we go to the Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. I can't believe you would act as such. I'll never forget, I went to South Carolina to preach in a revival meeting. God told me that night, he said, you get on your face. I got on my face. I laid out prostrate on my face before God behind the sacred desk. As I laid there and began to call on God, I noticed that Everybody in the place was completely silent. When I stood up, amen, and went back amongst the congregation to shake their hands, there come a man and woman to the back door and said, I can't believe you'd be so foolish as to lay on your face in our pulpit. You have embarrassed me, she said to me. The husband said, you're an embarrassment to preaching. I thought, I know I can't speak good. They called me later on after I left that meeting and said, our daughter got sick. We went by to see her. We prayed and prayed and prayed, and God would do nothing for us. And that lady said, preacher, I want to ask you to forgive me. She said, God told me tonight, said, if you'd get on your face the way that little preacher did, and you lay up prostrate before me and you beg my forgiveness, and then you seek my face for your daughter, then I'll heal her. But I won't do anything for her till you get right with me. Tell you what, there's a lot of people, amen, running around now with prayer requests, wanting God to do things. But God knows what He's going to do for your prayer request. He's just trying to get you straightened out first. That lady said, I finally got to hurting so bad, got so desperate, that I laid out on my face and said, oh God, forgive me. I'll call that preacher and ask him to forgive me. Oh God, would you take care of my girl? And she said, when I went back into that hospital room, she said, Mom, I feel better. Mom, I think the medicine's working. She said, it wasn't the medicine that was doing it. God had come by, amen. I want to say to you, you may be ashamed of old-fashioned religion. You may be ashamed to get an old snot rag and wave it around and say, God is able. You may say, you're a bunch of fools down there to act that way. And I want to say this to you tonight, amen, respectfully. God has saved my sin-sick soul, and it blesses me to know how much He loves me. And I don't know how better than to praise Him than to lift up my hands and say, thank you, Lord, for saving an old sinner like me. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me as you have. Thank you, Lord, for a good wife. Thank you, God, for two healthy, precious children, God. Thank you, God, for a good church full of people who love God and want to be around the things of God. Thank you, God, for dying for me. Thank you, God, for saving my soul. Thank you, God, for keeping me. Thank you, God, for speaking to hearts. Thank you, God, for coming by. Thank you, God, for blessing us as you have. I say tonight, church, don't my God deserve a little praise? Bless His holy name. You may say, preacher, Darren, you're acting crazy. It scares me too. But I'm not ashamed to stand for Him. He said if we'd be ashamed of Him, He would be ashamed of us. Amen. He didn't come in this world to condemn you. He didn't come in this world to kill you or to bring judgment or condemnation on you. Jesus came to save you. That's why He came. He came to save you. Look at the next verse. The Bible says in verse 18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You understand that the condemnation you bring on yourself because you've not submitted your life to Him, you've not bowed your knee to a thrice holy God. If you're under the sound of my voice, Lord have mercy. You've been in such a service tonight where the Lord has been well represented as He's passed us by. You've heard the old story of the gospel, how that Jesus gave His life for our sins, and He was buried, and on the first day of the week arose again. You've heard the good testimony of the people all over the house of God. I don't need a witness. Has anybody here been sorry since you trusted the Lord? Best decision we ever made to call on Jesus. Hey, the White House may not think so. The United States, a Senate may not think so. But the best decision I ever made is when I elected Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord. Verse 36, and I'll be done. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Do you understand that Jesus took the wrath of God on the cross. Jesus took the wrath of God for you that you wouldn't have to take it. What kind of person would I be to ignore the greatest love story, the most beautiful sacrifice in all the world's history, as Jesus, the Lamb of God, laid down his life that you might be saved? And yet you say, I'm not going to believe that stuff. I'm going to go right on doing what I do. I think you people down here are a bunch of imbeciles and you're crazy. What kind of person would you be to know that Jesus took away your wrath for you to call it to come right back upon yourself? Do you realize what a mighty God he is? Do you understand how powerful he is? I read this morning in the prayer room in Revelation chapter 15 that when the wrath of God was handed out to the seven angels that are going to come with the seven bowl judgments, that the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon the earth. And the Bible says, smoke, the glory of God filled the temple. That is the righteousness of God, though he sends wrath. Friend, I'll tell you, you'll not be able to live through the wrath of God. You'll not be able to take the wrath of God. Be honest with you, you'll be glad for hell compared to the wrath of God. All I know is he said, I will. I will. Preacher Dan, will he save me? He said he would. Preacher Dan, will he really help me? He said he would. Preacher Dan, you just don't know how bad I've been. You have no idea what I've been going through. You know what he said? Come. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white like wool. Lord, take away your sins. You're gonna pay for every one of them. You know the most dangerous place to be, Brother Brent? To sit in the house of God, to hear the message that Jesus saves and reject it.
Shame, the agony, took that cross with humility.